So we should probably get going.
Next at
bat. All right, let's do it. All right, sweet. Any questions?
No.
Nope.
Can I make another cup of coffee?
Yeah. Sure. Let's do it now before we start.
Yeah. Yeah.
So loud.
God's.
Oh. Damn it.
That reminds me, once we had some Colombian soccer players come stay with us, and they didn't speak any English, and my brother spoke a little Spanish, and I did, but not really enough. And we're like, all right, it's time to go. We were going to go to Godfather's Pizza for the buffet. They were just with us for a few days. They were in town for a soccer tournament.
Mm-hmm.
And we were like, okay, it's time to go. And we all went out to the car, and they both went and got in the shower. Because it was like, there was like this miscommunication that it was time to go. Like, now is the time to go. And they took that as, now it's time to get ready to go.
Yeah.
They got in the shower together?
Yeah, and I bring that up because that's what Sid just did. And we're here today with Colossus. Hi, Colossus.
Hi.
Let's
Matt.
Just go.
Hi, Mike.
Hi, Mike.
Yeah. My good friend and longtime podcast partner, Philip Simondet.
I'm very bad with names.
Who I've known for years and years now. Just called me the wrong name. Yeah, called me Mike because apparently all I am is a talking microphone to you.
And owner of the computer that we recorded this on.
That's a good save.
Thanks.
It's a good save. Oh, hey, you're on a mute button.
Oh, my God. All right.
There, you're off mute now. Thanks. All right, hi, Colossus. Do you guys want to go around the table and introduce yourselves?
Sure.
I'm
Sydney Oxborough.
My name is Dan Jaquette.
Gobi Kubik.
Drew Kirsten.
Sean.
I'm Jane White.
Aaron Shepherd.
And who couldn't be here tonight?
Kevin Spacey.
Hannah Widevin.
Max Maliga. Molly Chase.
Talked over each other.
Oh, sorry. Yeah.
And other Aaron.
Champy.
Yeah.
Yep.
Aaron Johnson. Yep.
Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because she is in Los Angeles now, I believe,
she's
right?
She's not in the group anymore. She was a founding member of Colossus.
Yeah. Right.
She's not a hashtag Kaz member.
Nice. And your coach is?
Nels Lennis.
Our director.
Your director.
Yeah. Is currently Nels Lennis.
It's currently Nels.
Formerly Butch Roy.
Formerly Butch Roy. Okay, got it.
It's not that Nels was formerly Butch Roy.
He popped up like a Pokemon.
It's the same person.
He had a Nels change?
Yeah, he did. Yeah.
Cool. Okay. So you guys started out as the deconstruction team at Huge Theater in Uptown Minneapolis at 31st and Lindale. And how did that go? You auditioned to be on the team, and then you learned the very classic version of the deconstruction. I'm assuming, since the deconstruction is such a complicated form, it was a pretty serious learning process coming together as a group that auditioned to be together, as opposed to, you know, choosing to be together due to friendship and, you know, this being the thing that you wanted to do, as well as learning such a complicated form. How did that work going from rehearsal process to the first time you guys performed together?
We were in the Throwback Night show, which was like the old school improv forms.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a couple different things like that we auditioned to be together.
Right.
And instead of like forming and choosing our own team, like I think that helped that we all know each other and we've all like seen each other improvise before and like already like respected each other as improvisers. And I think we're like, at least, I mean, speaking for myself, like I was like really excited to be with this group of improvisers, so like that made it easier going into it, that like we pretty much I like knew that what we did was going to be good for sure.
Yeah, you know, like I remember, man? That first day when we all came together, it was like we all kind of were like, I have one overlap with this person, I have like one overlap with this person in another show, but mm-hmm. like really on the whole, like we all, it was like a brand new combination.
Mm-hmm.
And I think some of the best things that come out of improv is when you take things that are unexpected, put them together, and because all the, you know, the magic is there, it just works. So we were able to, out of the gate, like the first rehearsal, just make really good stuff because we were like so excited to play together.
Yeah, and I think mm-hmm. Butch did a good job of introducing the form in pieces
mm-hmm.
rather than like here's the whole thing. Let's mm-hmm. do one. It was like we just worked on the opening scene for a long time and like just trying to think about themes. And I think that was really helpful to just get us in the mindset.
I think part of doing like a traditional form like that is that probably we all, I mean, I don't know for sure, but we all have learned the deconstruction in class probably and like maybe not performed it in front of an audience, but we all have had our own like idea of how a deconstruction works, you know. And then so it was more about just getting on the same page about what our deconstruction is going to be like.
I think the nice thing with the deconstruction too is that it's a really good team building activity because you're really mm-hmm. pulling themes together and building something together in a very, thematic way. And so I think that helped us be a little bit more cohesive as a group. I feel like we gelled really well together. Yeah. And I don't know if it's just the nature of the people involved or a combination of working on a theme that or a form that really you're like taking these steps together and building something really cool.
Yeah, I was actually really surprised. I was thinking like, I don't know if I could have put us together. Like, I don't think I would have ever sat down and plotted all of us specifically as a cast. But once we got there and started doing the themes, I was like, oh, yeah, these are all people that can grab onto those motifs, that can see those overarching patterns. Like, I couldn't have picked this group. So, like, it was really fun to have a director come in and be like, this is something you all have in common. And we all like, oh, my God, you're right, you know?
Yeah, I think that's a big part of it, too, is that, like, Butch saw that we would be a good team, you know. And
but something else interesting that happened, I think we were cast to do the deconstruction, but I think the organic stuff came out of our warm-ups. They watched us warm up, and I think the way we warmed up led to the hashtag show the way it is.
Definitely. I mean, like Nels said, like normally I hate this kind of improv, but it's cool when you guys do it.
And you know, when we started with Nels coaching us, he said exactly that. And, you know, when we had talked about the theory of what our show was going to be, it was going to be more like Overheard in Minneapolis. Mm-hmm. When I think Nels changed his mind completely when he started seeing our warm-ups and our organic stuff. And he was like, all right, we can do something different and possibly more special with what they're doing.
Yeah, when I heard the Overheard concept originally, I assumed it was going to be playing game hard off of whatever those little ideas are, and it went in a completely different direction.
Mm-hmm. I think what's fun about the organic stuff, too, is that it really is super, super organic with us, which is maybe what works about it, is that our warm-ups just got really convoluted and in a really, not to say organic 5 million times, but it really came
organic.
Organic. It just kind of evolved and it had like a nice energy shift and a lot of like, I've seen some organic improv and I think it's really hard to do well as performance. And I think because ours came from a place literally organic. We didn't come out to say, hey, let's do organic improv. It just came out of the way that we are together. It really, that's, I think, what makes it work.
And totally. It's not just organic. It's fair trade. It's seasonal. It's local.
Shade grown.
It's locally sourced.
Free range.
Jason
Hodge. We knew the name of our improv before we killed it and ate it.
Yeah.
So that was good.
last night, Jason Hodge from PH in Chicago was at our show, and I think it was him that said that it like felt like we weren't just doing it out of like an obligation to do organic improv, like that we actually we're feeling it and like, you know, just like that we're like confident that what we're doing is good and interesting
and appropriate
and not second guessing ourselves. And like, we're obviously like committed to it, which is like the important thing about organic improv, because it's like only natural to be like, does this make, like, think in the back of your head, does this make sense? Like, are people enjoying this? Is not what's normal. Isn't that maybe what they want to see?
Yeah, I think in all improv you have to commit, and the more you commit, the better it is. But I think it's even more important for the organic stuff because the audience isn't as much immediately on board with you because it's weird and they don't know what they're seeing to a degree. And so if they see even the hint of, like, the performer being like, I don't know what's happening. What are we doing, guys? Mm-hmm. Then they'll jump on that and be like, yeah, what are they doing up there? This is fucking weird.
And then we're on the other side of that, not only just, you know, being comfortable in what we're doing when we're doing it and committing to it, but also not playing at it, but playing it. Yeah. You know, like we don't do like we're being intentionally ethereal, except for when there's a moment of surreality.
Yeah.
But I don't feel like we ever like are like we're going to play make believe, like we're doing what feels good, you know. And the combination of those two, the audience is like, okay.
Yeah.
For the probably several listeners out there that don't know what organic improv is, you guys have now talked about it for quite a while.
Organic.
Let's talk about what you mean by organic improv, because actually organic improv can mean a bunch of things.
Sure.
And so when you guys talk about it, what do you mean?
Yeah. I mean, the thing is that we don't, like, we still use all the material from the first half to generate stuff for the second half, which is, like, normally organic. It's hard to be inspired by a normal suggestion, because, like, what we do is we just start going. And, like, if we were just getting a suggestion, it would be a lot harder to, like, just jump into just, like, basically rolling a snowball.
Yeah,
you know?
How we begin the second half is generally we leave the dressing room. Like, we start something in the dressing room during intermission, like once we get our places call. And so it usually starts from a movement or a noise or something. And the great thing about this group is that if you do something, somebody else heard you and joins you. And I think that's part of what works and what Dan was talking about with commitment is that is the commitment follow through. Because I've seen some stuff before where it's like, even if just one person is like, you can feel it and it's just not there. But we carry that out. And like Sid said, we're pulling stuff from the first half as suggestions. And so how Nels has wanted us to look at it is we're doing the dream version of the first half. So if those characters were dreaming or inside of a dream, what would be happening? And so starting from that noise or that motion or that like clapping or stomping, that's how what we build on to get to scene work.
Yeah, and then mechanically we drop a lot of the sort of standard edits and tag outs and all the things that you see in most shows. And so everything sort of bleeds into each other and fades in and out. And you might be, you know, one moment all 10 of us might be on the stage singing a song or like chanting or just like rolling around on the ground. And then two people might just start a scene from that. And the rest of the people will, you know, give them the focus, but not like stand up and walk to the sidelines, like just sort of drift out and then sort of still hover on the edge. So the whole thing is cohesive, but you sort of don't see the seams between where the scenes start and where the more like group game stuff stops.
Mm-hmm. Right. And like the sort of organic in the sense of if something will change, but there's not going to be a moment at which it changes. There's not going to be a hard flip of a switch where something is different. It's like that game Puking Dinosaur. You know, if I do the exact same thing that you were doing, it's naturally going to have a change in it. Mm-hmm. And so that notion of support is there. Like what Aaron was saying, it's if I literally do exactly what Dan is doing, it's not going to be exactly what Dan is doing because it looks like what it looks like on my body. And so it's that change that comes rather than the change that is chosen.
Yeah.
To be fair, though, we're speaking theoretically right now. We do all of the opposites of this in our shows, too.
I mean, like, part of it is that, like, it's a lot more, it's more about, like, the awareness that, like, it's one full piece, and it's more about the awareness that we know we're doing a show, and there's an audience watching us, you know, and not acknowledging that, but, like, acknowledging that more than, just doing like a series of scenes that take place in closed worlds. You know, we're like interpreting the improv scenes that we did and that are like in other worlds that the characters live in through us in the organic part, I think, you know. There's like not that much organic improv that happens. Like there was a team that's like known for it that was around a couple of years ago, Tightrope, that Jill Bernard directed at Six Ring Circus at the Brave New Workshop, Brave New Institute, Brave New Workshop Student Union. And
All of those.
It was the Brave New Institute back then. It's organic. And now it's the Student Union. And,
you're going to get a letter for saying that wrong.
I said it in chronological. Yeah, Sweeney's pissed. Yeah, Sweeney's the best about his body. That's where I had seen it before. And, like, there's still, like Josh Kaplan in particular has, like, kept doing that kind of improv in duos, like Morph and stuff. But besides that, like, not a lot of people have kept it alive, because I think part of it is that now the audience at Huge is more ready for it. Mm-hmm. And that we have a big enough, like, audience base of people that understand, like, basic improv and, like, regular long form well enough to, like, watch something that plays off of normal long form it, like that.
The format helps that we training wheels the audience into it by doing the first half.
Yeah.
I think if we came out at 8 o'clock on a Friday night and went straight into that,
no way.
Some people would never buy in.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But seeing the first half would never and being come able to see again. Those connections.
It's almost helps. Like the opposite of short form. Yeah. Like organic. It's like so long form. Like it's like such long form that it's almost like
ever changing amoeba.
So far like away from like regular long form.
Well, yeah. I think you risk alienating the audience.
That's
the way
what I was going to ask.
Yeah,
about.
Yeah, that they feel like they don't get the joke.
Yeah.
My question is like you run the risk of you know having it be so arty that it's kind of up its own ass. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yep.
So based on the feedback that you've gotten from the audience, how do you feel like you've been able to marry the watchability of the second half, which is considerably more artistic, but are you able to connect? Is the audience able to connect what you're doing in the second half back to the first half? So they're like, oh, I get this.
Yeah.
Jane, what was the somebody made a comment about it being like Twitter.
Yeah, it was actually Bradley Machoff was saying it was that it was like when you take the first half, it's in context. You have the opening scene. You break it down. You find mm-hmm. the themes. You understand where you're coming from.
Right.
It's purely contextual. And then when you take it to the second half, it's things out of context. It's like a Twitter feed. Mm-hmm. You know, it looks like chaos. It's a big scrolly thing. One person might say a comment to another person, and then the comment won't happen for a paragraph down, and it's out of order. And so it makes sense in context. But if you take things out of context in Twitter, it's just 140 characters. You know, you can hit some major themes, some major ideas, but basically you're only getting part of the story. You know, and so you can follow this hashtag, which is the theme all the way through, but everyone's story is out of context and out of order. Mm-hmm. And so that second half of the scene is like a feed, like a Twitter feed.
Yeah.
I think callbacks is another way that we really, like, get the audience to make connections. So whether we're calling stuff back from the first half or even stuff that happened early on in the second half, that usually gets a fairly good response from the audience in terms of like, oh, yeah, we heard that before. Yeah. Great. Yeah, I'm on.
Makes the audience think they're smart.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, I remember them. That. Do you guys remember that? I remember that.
Which
it's
is
funny.
Good. Yeah. I mean, that's part of what you're trying to do, right?
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
You're trying to take the audience on a different kind of ride. And I mean, I've talked on this show a few times now about like the degree of difficulty is really different in this type of show.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not a straight up show. I mean, some shows are difficult for different reasons. This one's difficult in a conceptual way.
Yeah.
Well, and I think it's also kind of a stretch of the imagination to cast a group together and assume they're going to have a group mind. You know, mm-hmm. inherently in that process, we didn't choose to be together. We were put together because someone said, you are a group. And so out of that necessity to bond and to create something, I think our organic stuff really came out of an intense desire and mm-hmm. need to quickly
to
form
a group mind.
Mind.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And because of that, because we're so inherently different and different improvisers and styles, but we all are so comfortable with each other and ourselves that we were able to form this identity.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You know, it seems kind of contradictory, but it seems like that was what we needed to do in order to coalesce.
For sure. I think another way that we get the audience on board is that this show is so much more topical than, like, because it's hashtag,
mm-hmm.
like, we like actually are interested in like exploring like topical stuff like Justin Bieber and like Kevin
Fracking.
Spacey and the Oscar and you know like we like normally I don't think any of us would be interested in deconstructing Justin Bieber, like that wouldn't be interesting to us, but
oh,
because like it's hashtag it's
I'll
like a topical
his
show and like
pants off.
That's what
it's
was
organic.
Going on this week online, and especially on Twitter, was Justin Bieber constantly, you know? And so I'm glad that we talked about that, and you know what I mean? Like, it's fun to be able to do, because I feel like that's something that doesn't get done in long form a lot of the time, and it gets done in short form more, where you're talking about topical stuff and making jokes about the news, and like, but like, because of the way, because we're not just making jokes, it's cool that we get to, like, you know, deconstruct and explore what's going on in the news, you know?
And it does sound like, from the mechanics side of things, this really did evolve organically.
Organic.
So hard to stop
from the deconstruction. I mean, it sounds like there's some mechanics in place in the second half that are very deconstruction-y.
Yeah,
we're deconstructing the deconstruction.
We might have overused the term organic in the beginning.
What?
I don't know. We only said it 50 times, but organic. It's more like a show with...
We're going to have a drinking game posted on our Facebook site.
Well, it has organic, the trappings organic, of an organic show, but there's actually quite a few mechanisms built into it.
We're retweeting our own material.
Every time we retweet a quote from another improviser about hashtag, you finish your drink.
Yeah.
So every time we say a name of a friend of the show, like Bradley Machov,
Kevin
finish
Spacey.
Your drink.
I was going to say, I'm sure that you guys have some pretty serious mechanics built in, or else it could be a mess.
Yeah.
And also your rehearsals would just be sitting around smoking weed.
Well, yeah, there's a certain idea, like Nels had us really focusing on the idea of cycling and recycling, which I kind of like with the retweeting. It's the idea of, you've heard this before,
that's
I'm going to say it again.
Kind of reminded me.
Definitely.
I'm going to say it again and again and again. And so we're taking those original scenes and those original characters and trying to stick as closely to that material as possible. There's this notion I feel sometimes when people are in scenes and they feel insecure, they're trying to grab information from outside of the scene.
Yeah.
You know, if they don't feel they've given themselves enough of a character, they'll pick up an invisible object, not because it's going to inform their scene or give them something to do, it's because they're scared and they're trying to pull from the outside in. And I feel like for our show, a lot of the kind of comfort that comes from that is we've already given ourselves everything we need and then some.
We've got so much to work
with. We have so much to work with. And so we're pulling from that source material again and again, because every time it comes out, there's something new we can find.
Yeah. And like with 10... Oh, sorry.
No, go ahead.
With 10 cast members, like, we all have such different ways of thinking about everything that... And like different ways of approaching deconstructing things, like from a critical side of it. Like, just all of our like senses of criticism are so different that like that... creates like a unique deconstruction, and that creates the second half that like we created, you know, that form or structure, which is not a form or structure, like because of our different like critical minds to deconstruction, and having so many people in the group that's makes like, you know, the cloud of ideas. The cloud save.
I was gonna say in terms of, you know, setting ourselves up for success, I think when organic improv fails, for me, it's like watching 8 people make wind noises for like 20 minutes, which I've seen shows like that, and they do it terrible.
Yeah.
And so we need to get out of the like group transitions with some speed. And so for us, we have a whole, you know, 30, 40 minute set that came before, and we can drop right into those scenes and sort of do them from a different direction, or we can pull, you know, the more traditional ways to pull from the movement of the organic, but we have that as well as the whole previous set where we can hit the theme of that or hit a character from that or all these other tools that we can bring in to get us out of the group transitions in time.
It's fun to have a room spin around you, but you need to have a foot on the floor sometimes.
Yeah.
And finding those characters that we can jump back into puts our is a firm standing kind of.
And that's what I was gonna, I just wanted to like say, like tie what I was saying back to what Dan just said, is that in most organic improv, everybody's trying to do the same thing and like always watching each other and making sure they're all doing the same thing. But we have enough confidence and respect for each other that like we can make choices during that. We can be confident to make our own choices
to push
like
forward.
We normally would if we're in a 2-person scene. When everybody's all on stage, and that makes it better and easier to watch that like it's not just a bunch of improvisers trying to copy each other the whole time. You know, we're all building something together, and the audience can see that and can see that we're not bothered by other people, you know.
Organic. No, yeah. That's exactly what I was going to say too, Sid. I think each of us feels very confident that we can depend on every single other person in the group.
Yeah.
And so we feel that we can push forward, we can lean back, and somebody else is pushing forward. And a lot of that is going back to what Dan said earlier about how when we first got together, we really worked on the different parts of the deconstruction. We got to know each mm-hmm. other, and that's what formed our warm-ups and what ultimately formed Hashtag the Show.
Yeah.
Why are we beating around the bush, guys? We're the best improvisers in Minneapolis. The Mess can suck our dicks. Show X can suck our dicks.
Brave New Workshop.
All of it, you know?
Splendid things, posthumously.
Please don't suck my dick.
Organic. Organic dick sucking.
It depends on what your diet is.
So, I know that in other cities there are organic improv is actually, and I mean not to beat this fucking dead horse again, but organic improv is actually very, very popular, and here it's not. And I know, I remember...
It's popular somewhere?
Yeah, I thought it was universally reviled.
Now, there are actually cities where it's yeah. actually kind of the gold standard.
That's awesome.
Where?
I don't know. UCB uses organic to get into
UCB
things.
Uses it.
They use
game
it open.
Generation.
Cool. Yeah.
But anyway, I remember one time I was at Huge, and Butch was coming out of a... Or, Butcher Nels was coming out of a class that they were teaching.
Person. Did he have a mohawk or not?
You can just call him Butch.
He had a hat on. I don't know. And in my memory, can you guys just deconstruct that for me real quick? And
yeah, we'll do that.
Soon. And he was like, he had been teaching a 401 class, and Jill Bernard was standing there, and she was like, "You taught organic today, right?" And he's like, "Yep." And Jill was like, "They hate it." He's like, "Yep." And so most people are uncomfortable with it. Mm-hmm. Most people are kind of scared of it.
That's part of why we like doing it too.
Well, but you guys, you didn't consciously decide, all right, let's do this because fuck everybody else.
Right.
You gravitated towards it. What do you think it is about your personalities that you gravitated towards?
For me, that's part of why I gravitate towards it, because I know that people don't want to see it, but they should.
So for the group, it felt like there was a tipping point. We warmed up for a throwback night show in the basement one night, and I put Hannah and Aaron, I think, both warm up with movement.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we just ended up doing this like 25 minute long movement warm up.
Yeah.
That we didn't talk about, and it just happened.
Yeah.
I feel like ever since then we've been playing with those concepts.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of it is because like Aaron's a dancer and Hannah's a personal trainer, and they're like physical people, and like that's part of what's cool about being able to everybody contribute whatever they want to everything and whatever we can, is that all of our strengths get combined into it, you know?
Yeah, I have to say, for me, I love it so hard as a physical person, because, like, I can start moving, and then I think, yeah, that's when Drew was like, Hannah and I were doing something, and then Drew started copying, and then everybody started copying, and then we started copying what everybody else looks like, because, like Jane said earlier, it's different inherently just because it's on somebody else's body. And for me, moving gets all the shit out of my head, so which is sometimes tricky. Then when I have to say words, because I'm like, I don't have any language. But it's it really clears me up personally, and so I love doing it. Like as soon as we start that second half, like every single like nerve in my body is I just feel completely relaxed and really, really comfortable, because I'm like, it doesn't matter, because whatever comes out is just going to come out. It's going to be amazing. Mm-hmm. And because I trust my team, like a lot of the pressure is removed. Whereas like and especially with deconstruction, the first half we are like, it's very heady. You have to be thinking about themes. You're moving something forward. We're carrying through a narrative, and we're pulling out all this information. And then the second half is kind of like, you know, you just, whatever comes out.
And just let go.
Yeah. And it's amazing. I love it.
And you realize with that story that Drew is now going to take credit for the origin of this group.
I mean,
I'm the one who saw them moving.
Sean was the one who called out Colossus for the first time.
No, I was.
No, you just called the dildo Colossus.
Twitter war. Twitter war.
I named us after the dildo.
I brought it back during the run.
Yeah, you did.
All right, you brought it back during the run.
And I think I ended up beating you with a big black dildo.
I was not at that show. I have no part in this.
Dildo.
All right, well, now's a part in the show where there's something new happening. Yeah, this is pre-Phillips Corner.
Oh.
So I need you guys to help me name this part.
Okay.
Because I Big have not Tilda. Been able to come up with... that's probably not going to do it.
The Magnus. Okay.
Mike's Rhombus.
That just sounds like gay porn.
Ouch.
All right, so here I'm going to just do some kind of... fast-paced questions. I want you to give me fast answers.
All at the same time in a group
No,
mind?
We're just going to go...
popcorn?
Yeah, popcorn around. All right, so if you could improvise with anybody from history, who would it be? Go.
Amy Poehler.
Dorothy Parker.
Oh, wait, world. Oh, I'm confused. Oscar Wilde.
My dad. Man.
Bill Murray.
Yeah.
T-Rex,
awesome. If you could layer any... classic form that's not the deconstruction into your hashtag show, what would it be?
Harold.
Close quarters.
Armando, maybe? No.
That wouldn't work. No, yeah, the Armando. I think you could Armando and then organic off their stories. Yeah,
that's
yeah,
true. Okay. You could do Twitter, yeah. Twitter Armando.
Mm-hmm. I don't know, Rance.
Twitter Armando. Like
Armander.
I think it's called J.T. Brown. It's like named after a whiskey or something.
Oh.
I don't know. It's really cool.
What's it like?
It's like crazy. It has like 39 rules or something like that.
Sweet.
Yeah. No, but it's very cool.
That's
cool.
Awesome.
Jason Sudeikis was one of the makers of it.
Cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Did he put his maker's mark on it?
He put his maker's mark on it.
Whiskey joke.
If you guys were to add a third act to your show, what would it look like?
Sleeping? I'm so tired after two.
Yeah, it would be a bat.
I would bring up 10 audience members to do what we just did.
I think we actually would just need a lot of towels because there's a lot of sweat that happens.
There's a lot of moisture.
Just be drying off.
I mean, to answer legitimately, I think it would be really interesting to have live tweeting, like with people with their phones out on stage doing tweeting and then having those come up as a feed on the big screen.
I think so, mm-hmm. too.
Yeah.
If you were going to play somebody in a movie, who would it be?
Zach Galifianakis.
Wolverine.
I'd love to see that movie.
Aaron, what did you say?
I said Dorothy Parker.
The Rocketeer.
Oh, yeah.
Edwin Booth.
That's a long callback.
Several next at bats ago.
I didn't say anything.
Say someone.
I can't think of anything. I can't pick. It's too hard Dolly to pick Parton. A single person.
She doesn't know people.
I don't
she
know
doesn't
people.
Watch movies.
I don't watch movies. No.
Gabby?
Let me think.
Give you a line.
I want to see Gabby as Mae West.
I'd be Mae West.
That would be amazing.
Come up and see me sometime.
Maybe like Shirley Temple in her like 20s when she was realizing that her career was dead.
Oh.
That'd be a good role.
That'd be a great role.
I'll be a diplomat.
And finally, what's one line that you've never gotten to say on stage that you've always wanted to?
I can put my socks on while shitting.
I'm so fucking high right now. I don't ever think that on stage because I'm not, but I worry about playing stoners on stage.
You have with the deconstruction.
I know.
Yeah.
I finally got to do my bong space.
Your bong it was awesome. How did he do it so well?
Anybody else?
I forgot the question.
I feel like I can say anything I want.
Yeah, I do too. Or, well, if words come out of my mouth.
Right, but
just
now,
has to dance it out.
What would be the line that you haven't said?
Right now?
Yeah.
Let's do it.
Yeah. There it is.
Slow, slow, quick, quick, slow.
Ride. It's a good song. The Golden Palominos.
Maybe like, hey, what are you doing?
You're not my grandma.
Actually, I say that in comedy sports
grandma,
often.
You're crazy. You need to take your medicine. You're not a vampire, grandma.
I'll tell you what line I hate hearing in improv.
What's that?
We talked about this before.
Yeah.
You do this all the time.
Uh-huh.
It's my first day.
Make it special, asshole.
This is the worst first job ever day.
All right, thank you. And now is the time in the show where I throw the microphone over to Philip Simondet for a brand new segment that we call Philip's Corner. It's Philip's Corner. Do-do-do-do.
Hi, guys. How'd you get all those musicians in here?
It's a mariachi band that doesn't sing.
It's really cool,
they don't
guys.
Play their instruments.
Whenever we go to Philip's Corner, I think it looks like Elmo's World, where it's all like drawn in crayon.
Except bloody and dark.
It's like the puppeteer that does Elmo's World.
Everybody finish your drink.
He was found to be totally innocent. All the charges were made up.
Oh, really?
Yes. I hate the fact that that's
public
not publicized.
Yeah.
No, it wasn't publicized at all. It was like fucking page 8. It was page 1 news when he was brought up on charges, and it was page 8 when it was found that all the charges were fucking bullshit.
So was the headline, yeah, I guess the pervert's not.
The whole point was to just like ruin his image.
It was to ruin his image because he's a gay man.
Exactly. Because he's a gay black man.
A gay black man.
Yep.
And he never did anything wrong.
The children's television, yeah.
That one made me so mad.
Well, all right, public service announcement.
So that way to perpetuate
okay.
that, Philip.
I'm sorry, I did not read
Welcome to Philip's Corner.
I only read 7 pages of
news. Welcome to Philip's Intolerant Corner.
Philip's Ignorant Corner.
Philip's Corner of Hate.
What were you going to say?
All right, yeah, Philip, go ahead now.
So now that I've totally been decredited, what Philip's Corner is, for those of you who may or may not know, is the part where I finally unmute my mic and start asking questions. There's a lot of you, so we're going to try to do quicker answers than normal. I'm gonna stare at you one at a time awkwardly. And then I'm going to make up a question while I stare into your eyes, and you're going to answer awesomely, but a little bit shorter than normal.
Phil,
yeah.
Can you also stare intolerantly this time?
Yeah. Pretty tolerant.
Lynch him with your eyes.
Still pretty tolerant.
Remember, he's Jewish, if that helps.
Oh, that helps so much.
Okay.
I thought it might. But that's why I didn't say anything.
Sydney. When did you first go to a drive-in movie?
I've only been to a drive-in movie twice, and the first time must have been 1999 or 2000 when my friends had cars and we didn't have curfews.
What did you see?
I don't remember. Probably Jurassic Park, I don't know.
That makes sense.
Did your water start shaking inside the car?
Yeah, that's right. It was 1998, so probably Jurassic Park.
Jurassic Park 3 at that point?
Yeah. Could have been Titanic, and the water still started shaking.
It could have been.
Water World?
Actually, every time I think about a drive-in movie, I think about the scene at the end of Pee-wee's Big Adventure when they're all watching.
Oh, yeah.
The movie.
Yeah.
Dan... If you had to guess, what did I eat last night?
You had leftover sandwich from a deli. It was a pastrami sandwich and half a pickle.
What did you eat last night?
Pizza. No, that's not true. That's 2 nights ago. What did I have last night?
Had Tracy's birthday cake.
I had some birthday cake. I almost made microwavable egg rolls when I got home.
Oh boy, here goes Dan.
Somewhere right now, Molly Chase is shaking a fist. Just
friend of the show, Molly Chase.
Yeah, but never take a drink.
We just got a new dog, and I didn't want to wake the dog up. But that was, I didn't eat that. I think I had...
The answers are supposed to be faster than usual.
Yeah, this is.
That's true. He's not going second by second.
This is Dast. Yeah. Or is it Fan? Yeah,
fan. It might have been
Dad Fan.
Rice and no, I had a microwavable burrito that I made myself. We went to Costco a couple weeks ago and bought a bunch of stuff to make our own microwavable burritos.
Stop skirting the issue. Did the dog wake up?
He did, but she did. Sorry, dog. She did.
Intolerable quarter.
But I thought I had made it, and then she woke up like a half hour after I was in bed, and then I had to go back down at like 4 a.m.
What a bitch.
To let her out.
Oh, Sean.
Yeah. Life hack, make your own microwavable burritos.
Yeah, that's what I did.
Do you have a BuzzFeed with pictures on how to?
I
have
don't.
To go back down where?
To the dungeon downstairs. My bedroom's in the upstairs. I have a two-story home. I don't want to brag, but
no, we did.
I sleep upstairs.
Wow.
Yeah. You should have We Know Each Other on sometime. And
they did.
Oh, we did.
It was a great episode.
Yeah, I bet it was insightful about we know each other kind of stuff.
Featuring Ellen Jaquette. Drink.
Friend of the show.
Friend of the show.
Gubby. What's the tallest building you've ever been in, and why?
Great question.
That's a really good question.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Not Dan's house.
Two fucking stories.
I don't know what it was called. I want to say there's, like, this building in Berlin, and it has, like, a golden angel on it. And then you can, like, see all of Berlin.
Like, how tall is it?
It probably is not very tall. It's probably, I don't know.
So you haven't done any of, like,
the... But I had to climb the whole way, so it felt really tall.
On the outside?
Yeah, you had to walk up the steps. Hello. Do you know what I'm talking about, Jane?
Are you talking about the Siegesäule, the place where that Obama gave a speech when he was visiting Berlin?
I have no idea.
Could you ask that in German, please?
Well...
No, but like...
Did he say, Ich bin ein Berliner?
Yep.
Obama?
Yeah, Obama said it. And then said, LOL.
Are you trying to answer why?
Oh, that's what that is. Oh, I didn't know what that was. Why?
I was on a high school trip to Berlin.
Drew.
Yes.
What was your favorite thing to draw when you were a kid?
That's cool. Great question, first of all. I liked to draw mazes. They're basically just like circular lines, like coming out from a center, and then occasionally they would split, and then they'd circle around that and circle around that till it ends up looking like a brain. So I like to draw those.
That sounds about right.
Yeah. Yeah. Or then also little like faces. I was in junior high during the first Gulf War, so I would, like, draw Saddam Hussein and then put a cross through him.
What a patriot.
Supporting the war effort.
Yep. Sean, Patriots is a football team.
It is.
I'm guessing you don't know a lot about football.
Oh, you would guess wrong, my friend.
Sports.
Tell me a lot about... Sports. Football.
But keep it short.
I believe it is pretty deceptive that I'm a huge, huge football fan. And I watch a lot of it. I am usually in 3 to 5 fantasy football leagues. And that is during the football season, that's what I do with Sunday. That is all I do Sunday.
In your face.
Fuck you, Mom. We're not hanging out. It's Sunday. I watch football that day.
That in rehearsals for the show.
Yeah.
Wait, are you talking about American football?
Oh yeah.
Oh, then never. He's talking about soccer, so that's no, that's reasonable.
You shut your dirty, filthy mouth. it's played in a rectangle field with an oblong ball, which makes it quite interesting when there's a fumble, air quotes.
That's a bounce when it comes out of somebody's hands. Yeah,
it bounces because it's a pigskin filled with air, tanned with white laces. Mm-hmm. And it's actually a lot larger than one would think. Mm-hmm. Most people's hands are not large enough to throw it properly. Walter Payton is the greatest football player ever. Oh, wait. Actually, I do have an interesting story. I once met Mike Singletary, who is the linebacker coach for the Vikings now.
Number 50.
But I grew up wearing his number, idolizing him when he was on the 86 Bears Super Bowl team. He was just my idol for the longest time. And 2 years ago, he came into my restaurant, and I shook his hand, and damned if he didn't have the hardest fucking handshake. Yeah. And damned if I didn't actively swoon when he turned around.
Was he on the Bears when they did that rap song?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Super Bowl Shuffle. Yeah, the Super Bowl. I still have that on VHS.
That's awesome. Shuffle. All right, well, I have to apologize to Sean for not knowing. And also, and well,
we'll work this out on the field, yeah. Philip.
It was somehow intolerant.
Yeah, I apologize.
Hey, you're a great musical theater actor.
You're A, probably gay, and B, probably hate football.
I apologize to Sean and the Elmo Puppeteer for the exact same reason. Jane.
Hi. It's my voice.
Do you watch The Voice?
I do not. I usually do not watch TV. I have just now, for the last 4 months, lived in a household that has TV. Most pop culture references are lost on me. I don't really watch movies or TV shows. I've seen some series, but I'm pretty pop culture illiterate.
What was the last TV show that you watched, like, on TV when it was on?
I'm watching Sherlock right now. Do I sound excited about that? Because it's awesome. Yeah. So, Sherlock. I've only made it through second season of Game of Thrones. But that's what I'm at.
That's not TV, though.
It's not HBO. TV. It's HBO. It's not rape culture. It's HBO.
Wow.
Aaron.
Yeah.
Ignore
that one, I guess.
What am I ignoring?
Rape culture.
Rape culture.
You're ignoring.
I don't know
like
much
every
about rape culture.
Keep ignoring.
I'm more interested in rape culture.
Silence only helps the victim. God, or the oppressor. Vice versa.
I do want to
take that victim.
Take that victim.
I just made that up just now. You'll hear me say it again in the future, but I just made it up when I said it just now. So
I'm going to apologize to someone for something. I don't know what. Just fill it in later. I'm sorry, everyone.
Philip's Aaron. Apology Corner.
Aaron. Have you ever worn those vampire teeth, and why?
Oh, I have not ever worn those vampire teeth, but and by those vampire teeth, I have a couple questions for you.
Okay.
Do you mean the kind that are like, it's like a denture set that are like,
like
you
like
put
the
them,
plastic ones.
But there's but other kinds, because so there's like that kind, there's the same kind but glow in the dark version.
I have those.
And then there is the kind that you just like glued to your bicuspid, so they look more realistic.
It's on the Hot Topic.
Yep, yeah.
Or you can file your.
Which I actually, I love going into Hot Topic because I feel like I identify as a goth teen, yeah. Even though that is like really far from what I look like. So I have a lot of the same issues that Sean probably has. Yeah. Where, like, I'll go into Hot Topic and I'm like, yep, I'm with my people. I'll look at the weird stuff and I'll, like, buy some, like, hair extensions and weird clothes. And I feel like I'm where I belong and these guys can see it in me. And they're really, really nice to me and, like, the people that work there. And for a long time I thought it was because, like, they're like, yep, she's one of us. Mm-hmm. They actually just have really good customer service. Like, to everybody, I'm not special. But I did spend about 15 minutes looking at a package of those little vampire teeth, deciding like what kind of vampire would I be
And should I go ahead and spend the money on this? And then what would the glue taste like? And would that be annoying? And I ultimately decided against it because I thought it would maybe be a little cliche to be a vampire. So instead, I was a My Little Pony. But I bought my tail at Hot Topic.
But you do a brony? Wear sparkle glitter sometimes.
All
which
the time.
Now vampires do also.
That's true. And actually, I had a thought when I saw the first Twilight movie on opening day in the theater with all the teenage girls and my husband. I was thinking, like, I probably have better makeup in my house to make them sparkle better than they did on those stupid special effects. Like, that was the stupidest thing. But I have to say that watching Twilight on opening day with a bunch of teenage girls was like one of the most fun things I've ever done. Like,
how did James like it?
He actually thought it was really funny too, because like the reactions were so funny because like the girls had all read the books, and so they were pre-laughing for things that were about to happen, like things would happen. And then there is this one part in the book, as I read the book too, which is horribly, horribly written.
Yes.
I like red pen it in my head as I'm reading. But there's this, like, the description of the way Edward looks when Bella walks into the science lab is like so fucking convoluted and weird that I remember reading it and being like, if this was a movie, how, like, if I was playing that role, how would I possibly do that with my face? And so when Robert Pattinson does like this really weird face, it is the funniest thing because you're like, yeah, that was it. That's exactly what it was. But then it was funny. So James was on one side, and then I was sitting next to like a group of four guys, like the only guys in the theater were also next to me, and they were like, what is happening? I had no idea. But
friend of the show, James Rohn.
Finish your drink. And Robert Pattinson.
Robert Pattinson, the other half of Interplanetary.
Friend of the show.
So the answer to my question is no.
No.
Thanks for the quick answer. Can I just ask if anybody else had kids at their high school that would come to school wearing those fake Hot Topic fangs?
I went to an all-male military Catholic school, so no.
I graduated in 96, so no.
Yeah, we didn't have really nice vampire teeth in 96.
I knew this kid who, he wore them every day for a couple months to school, and it was like, it was creepy in like, ugh, I can't believe how fucking trashy you are with.
I did know a guy named Chell who said he was a vampire, but I never saw him drinking blood.
I have one final question for everyone, and it's, do you have any suggestion for how I could maybe save some time in the morning when I have to go to the bathroom but also get dressed?
Yeah, I do.
I think we should turn to Dan Jaquette for this one.
Well, yeah, Dan, take really away. Quick, I brush my teeth in the shower. I started doing it this year.
That's brilliant. I'm jealous.
I don't brush my teeth.
Ooh, good choice.
You can also, if you can do it, you can put your socks on while you're shitting.
That's brilliant.
It's pretty tough, and it feels real weird to have one foot like up on your knee while you're dropping the kids off in the pool.
The only man alive that shits cross-legged.
But you might save like 30 seconds to a minute, so probably worth it.
I want to introduce another drinking game rule for this episode. Every time Dan Jaquette brings up a new life hack that he came up with, you drink.
Thank you so much. This has been Phillips Corner.
Yay! Organic.
Come on.
What?
It's the phone.
You guys ready to do some improv?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
What's that?
Hey, Clark. What happened with the window?
I broke it in my fist.
It's not a problem that it's broken. It's just that your anger. I thought you were going to work on containing that.
Yeah, I was going to work on it. And then I got really mad at myself for doing such a shitty job.
Cool.
So I broke this goddamn window.
Cool.
So you can take it at my pay like the last one. Cool. Or we can sell it right here, man to man.
Well, I guess the HR manual says we're supposed to, at this point, since we took it out of your pay once, it is time to escalate it and settle it man to man right now.
All
right. I'm a by the book manager. So I'm going to just take my shirt off now and start oiling up.
Great. You got a great body. I'd take my shirt off if I looked that good.
You better take your shirt off because it's time to oil up and wrestle. And if you don't want to wrestle, maybe you should think twice before you get angry in the office.
God damn it. Fine, I'll take my shirt off.
Are you getting angry right now?
Yeah. I'm getting jazzed.
Guys, there are woodland creatures assembling outside of this window. Did you order a beautiful woodland scene at all?
That was ordered by my anger management class to try and calm me down.
Okay. Oh, God, is that blood on your fist?
Yeah, I broke it on the window.
It's okay. Don't worry, we Suzanne. Suzanne, this is all contained. We're about to wrestle this out.
Well, just this, that squirrel's so beautiful. I don't know if I can...
I don't know how I feel about wrestling in front of the animals. They're so young and innocent.
Suzanne, are you trying to get written up right now?
I mean, don't be like that. I mean, I'm just saying, they're innocent deer.
Suzanne, we've already taken it out of your pay. What? If you want to take your shirt off and oil up and wrestle right now, this will be your second warning.
Class, great job. You've done the organic bit perfectly. I love it. I love this.
I don't know. This feels weird to me.
I fertilize it with my own feces.
Mm.
I brought some carrots.
Everything you've done is the right thing to do.
I watered this plant with my tears.
Who are you?
I'm the new kid. I'm a vampire. I'm from out of town.
A vampire. Ooh. Interesting.
He's so handsome.
What vampire. A glittery man.
We didn't have vampires in my old school.
Is David Bowie a vampire?
Yes.
Yeah, we're all related. We all know each other. Yeah.
What's your name, vampire boy?
Vaughn.
Vlon?
Yeah, it's Vlon.
Vlon?
That's a lot of A's. It's 3 A's.
Vlon.
Thank you.
I like Vlon.
Thank you.
He's cute.
You know what? I like Vlon and Flan.
Oh my God, that'd be sticky and good.
I read about Vlon the Conqueror in our history books. Is that your...
Yeah, we're related. I know all of them. Yeah, I remember Vlon the Conqueror.
Is that you? Vlon?
Yeah, okay, I was trying to be coy, but yeah, that's me.
Wow. Oh,
God, how old are you?
I'm 8,000 years old.
You don't look a day over 16.
Yeah. Well, we're not ready to be conquered, sir.
Look, I don't want to conquer. Look,
you can conquer me.
I'm just trying to get through high school. It's so hard, you guys.
Sounds like you need a friend.
You could use a friend.
Sounds like you could use a room full of friends.
Everyone, let's encircle Vlon. Big hug time.
They guys, Stephanie's bleeding out over there.
It's getting on me. And it's someone really call 911,
please? Why wasn't I chosen?
Bite me, Vlon.
I'm bringing the emergency state case, you guys.
Bite me.
Class, this is beautiful. I just want everyone to appreciate this moment.
Bite me.
Gorgeous.
Tweet, tweet. All right, we got a new basketball player on the team. Smith, you're out. Vlon, you're my new point guard.
Man, coach, come on. I know I can do it this time.
Have you seen Vlon move?
My blood!
Yeah, fuck you, guy.
Vlon, he's our man. He's been here 8,000 years.
Watch me
Vlon,
dunk.
Vlon, we want to watch you dunk, and then you'll hear our cheers.
Oh, man, last time I passed in the ball, he deflated it with his tooth. I'm not into this.
You passed at my face, you idiot.
We're never going to make it to regionals. God, Vlon.
All right, team. We're up against a tough opponent. I hear Riverside High's got a vampire this year.
What the?
Luckily, we've got a secret weapon, too. Show him.
Oh my God, it's the Hulk!
Teen Hulk.
Teen Hulk played b-ball.
He's so angry.
Smash dunk.
That's right.
You know, his secret is that he's always angry.
Most teenagers are.
He's a teenager.
Luckily... He's a Teen Hulk.
Coach Robinson, can I talk to you about the damage that's happened in the school gymnasium?
Certainly.
What's going on in there?
What's going on is that we're winning every single game, Principal.
The, What did you just call me?
I called you Principer Principer.
Yes.
I'm sorry that your name is Principal Principer, but I get confused.
I'm the insurance adjuster that Principer Principer called in, and apparently you guys have cost yourselves $21,000 and $200 per game.
Whoa. I'm from the law offices of Principer and Principer, and we are going to take legal action if you do not correct this.
That's we're a public wife. School and we're winning games.
Thank you for coming, Candy.
But, anytime, what? Principer.
What's wrong with you people? Isn't there anything more important to you?
More important than legal action?
More important than
love?
Money?
I don't think so.
G-Hulk doesn't travel. G-Hulk smash bleachers.
This is what... Being a high school basketball coach and a principer should be all about. Winning games. That's how we get that taxpayer money, which should be paying for all of this since we are winning games.
Your center threw a keg of beer, which had been drank, through a window.
It's just, you know, boys will be boys.
That's not going to hold up in court, okay?
Your Honor, I would like to bring the first matter of evidence to the court. These are puppy dog tails. I have a pile of snails. I have some dirt over here. These are all clearly evidence that boys will, in fact, be boys. I rest my case.
Well, what are these, snips?
As lead juror running this jury room right now, what do you guys all make of this? I think that boys, in fact, will be boys.
I kind of... don't think it's really about what boys will do in the future, but what boys did in the past.
Boys have been boys.
So, I guess guilty.
They're guilty of being boys, definitely.
Yeah, I mean, they're not.
I mean, boys will be boys, and that's guilt. Boys are guiltily boys. Boys
if we
are
start guilty. Prosecuting boys for being boys, then... That's an America I just don't want to live in.
I guess I feel like if they had said boys have been boys, it'd be much more accurate. Mm.
Good point.
I would like to bring into evidence, here is Exhibit B. It's a tautology. I'm just going to lie that right here on your desk, Your
Can
Honor.
Can we tell the judge that the prosecutor is in the juror room and that's not allowed? Because I feel like she's already closed her case and now we should
I'm
be
sorry.
Deciding.
I have just one more piece of evidence to enter into.
Can we call the bailiff?
It is called a tautology.
The phone's been disconnected.
Here.
If a prosecutor can't be in the juror's room, that's in America. I don't want to live in.
I'm getting out of here. The door's locked, guys.
The doorknob fell off.
Guys.
This door's painted on.
She's holding my wrist really hard, and I think my hand might start to fall off.
Let's be very clear. A trap is a trap, and will always be a trap, and we are going to stay in this room until my client is exonerated.
If a trap is not a trap, that's just not an America I want to live in. Last year, when I was hurt and or injured, I trapped myself, and I called the law offices of Persepor and Persepor. And they helped me out of a bind. They got me money fast. That's why I call Persper and Persper.
I was in a situation where I had had too much to drink. I called the law offices of Persper and Persper, and they got me a reduced sentence.
At a certain point in my life, I decided that marriage was over between my wife and myself, and I wanted to not get money to her. So I called the law offices of Principer and Principer.
There was a situation in my life where I was tired of being a squirrel. And so I called the law offices of Principer and Principer. And they made it happen.
No, you're right. Call Principer and Principer today. Get out of here, you buzzards! I'll come back. Believe the bones. All right. Do whatever you want with the bones.
Look at the buzzard man over there talking to birds.
We like to make a nest with the bones.
This backyard is full of buzzards.
He's like a modern-day St. Francis.
Of Assisi?
Yeah, the man that talked to the animals. That's what this guy is in the real world of modern days.
He's like St. Francis of Martin Luther King Boulevard Junior Avenue.
That's right, and that's why I come here, to watch him and hear what he says to the birds, because sometimes it's golden.
Brought you another corpse. It's just roadkill.
Did you notice how he said that with a tone like sometimes it's more than roadkill?
And sometimes, like, maybe it's not yet a corpse? I know. Intrigue.
I know you like to watch him die, but, well, hopefully you can scavenge something off this.
You ever think it's weird that all those buzzards are just sitting there, their wings aren't even clipped or nothing?
I know, they're like his friends. That's why he's like St. Francis. Like, he calls to them, and they are just there, and they are like his best friends. And if this was a cartoon, you would totally believe it. But because it's real life, you are having troubles.
Them! Over there! Attack!
I just can't get her to sleep. She's just real fussy. I don't know what to do. God, being a parent's so hard.
Gotta do something, baby. I gotta get up early for a meeting tomorrow.
Never should have had this kid.
Will you put your genetic materials inside of me, and this is what happened?
Yeah, I thought it would be a good idea. We planned it out. We found when you were most fertile. Everything was great. Until this little angel of... God, she's beautiful, but...
Darling,
terrible at the same time.
Darling, I held her in my womb for 9 months. You have the first 9 months of baby duty, all right? I'm going to bed.
That's bullshit.
What's that bullshit?
She didn't shit in the womb.
Yes, she did.
Oh, hey.
Yeah, she did.
I don't need you coming here.
This baby book that randomly spits facts out says that she did. Okay?
I'm just saying.
I'm closing the book. I feel like you and this book have been after me for the last 3 months since
this
we gave
book
birth.
This book has taught us so much about caring for a baby. I'm opening the damn book.
Did you know that at 6 months she's been urinating in you? Gross.
That's gross.
Disgusting. I stuck my dick in you.
It was in me the whole time, though. Come on. That's not fair. Just your dick cut.
You got baby pee on your dick.
It's like a baby pee on my dick.
I have baby pee on my entire inside.
All right, Jared. I know you're going to be a dad, so I got you this book from the Mayo Clinic to help you out.
Yeah, thanks, man. Oh, Dr. Spock. I heard good stuff about this.
Yeah, absolutely.
Is this the talking version?
It is.
Awesome. I hate reading.
You will get baby pee on your penis if you have sex with your expecting wife.
Well, I'm not gonna
raising
put my dick
babies
in there.
Can be highly illogical.
Well, okay, that works out for me.
Also, space.
Space. If you feed your baby properly and read books to them, they will live long and prosper.
Spock, I already told you I don't like reading.
Space.
Be careful not to hold your baby too hard, or you may get them in a death grip.
I just want to squeeze
them so
bad.
Zero G is not a good environment for babies.
Space.
Captain, I need a few babies for an away team.
Space. I got this whole satchel right here.
I only have red shirts to put them in. Is that safe for the babies?
We can't send down naked babies.
No, red shirts it is then.
Babies hate being naked.
Better question, why do you happen to have a bunch of six-month-old baby red shirts sitting around?
Damn it, I'm a doctor, not a seamstress!
Spock!
And that's the end of your audiobook.
Hey, that was a pretty good read. Yes. That, well, not really a read, but, you know, it was informative and pretty exciting.
I got you another book, too. It's a Bob Vila book.
Bob Vila book? That sounds like Tim the Toolman Taylor. Is Bob Vila just trying to jump on
the audiobook of Bob Vila's?
Holy shit, what a double whammy.
Welcome to this old house. I'm Tim Allen.
If Tim Allen can't do a Bob Vila impression, read his book, and make money off it, that's an America I don't want to live in.
You know, I know you're trying to do more of the cooking now that your wife's pregnant.
Yeah, bitch won't get in the kitchen.
Yeah, so I got you a cookbook as well.
Awesome. What kind of cookbook did you get me?
It's a Julia Child book, but
oh my god, it just sounds like pigeons.
It's narrated by Central Park pigeons.
It's narrated by pigeons. That's awesome. Didn't I mean, you know, I like vultures, but I guess pigeons are somewhat there.
You're interrupting the recipe for coq au vin.
Coq au vin. It's really intricate.
That's a good point. Make sure you use the quality wine, not the cheap stuff.
Oh, no shit. Yeah, definitely.
Honey, this casserole tastes very strange.
Well, I used a pretty cheap wine because I couldn't find any quality stuff.
I feel like I need to give the best I can to my baby, and this just feels unnutritional, you know?
No, I understand.
It's not very organic, I don't think.
Well, it does have Velveeta cheese, red wine, and onions.
Yeah.
And that's it.
Ooh, yeah. I'm not supposed to have wine.
Oh.
With this thing.
Well, the alcohol's all been cooked out.
Ooh, yeah. I don't. I think that's not. I think that's not correct.
I've been really working hard, though, to try to make things that are good for you and that you crave.
Honey, no. I don't.
Do you not see how hard I'm working?
That's bad for the baby.
Yeah. I'm trying to nourish you.
Oh, honey.
Just try a bite.
It does taste good.
I am so glad I built this sauna, you guys.
Yeah. Oh, shit, man.
Billy, I'm coming to your house like every day.
Yeah, totally.
I feel close with you guys all of a sudden now that we're all in the same room and look super
What do you
hot.
Guys say we just live here?
Like forever?
Yeah.
I'm okay with it. I'm okay with it. Yeah.
What do you say we take these towels off?
Billy's fine with it.
Let's feel free to be free.
Let's just sit our butts down on this wood.
Yeah.
In this.
Guys,
like hot rum
I do have a case of saggy butt, though.
It's okay. Just sit on it. Don't judge me.
Oh.
They look
you have
like
what?
Pigeons. She does. I've seen pigeon. It. She made me look at like
genitals.
A sleepover.
Pigeon genitals?
You have pigeon genitals.
Just like loud, dirty labia flaps?
Well, here, let me show you.
Oh, my God. Jesus Christ. No, we got to get the towels back on.
I'm sorry. Okay, here we go. Okay.
Well, if they weren't noisy,
you guys,
I wouldn't have any problems.
I have to tell you something, too.
Yes.
I have a sideways penis.
Oh, God.
Sideways penis?
How does that
work? Did you get it caught in a thresher?
My balls are on the right. The penis just goes to the left.
It's like pointing
at
things.
I gotta see this.
Yeah, what does it look like? It's like a direction.
Towel.
I won't judge
okay,
you.
Okay, I'll take the towel off. Towel off.
Okay.
See?
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Definitely a plus.
Yeah. That is like...
Is that really?
That's like taking a left at Happy Nails.
It's like if someone wants to kick you in the balls, they're going to miss.
It's awesome. I mean, I think I'm genetically, you know...
You're advanced.
You're the future.
I'm advanced.
You're like evolution before our very eyes.
I like to call myself an X-Man.
I feel like my genitals were judged and
my
his
penis.
Were not, and I would like to raise...
I wasn't judging your genitals.
Well, I was.
I was.
About that.
They're disgusting.
It's just, got an
you know, going back to your
I wouldn't let my sideways penis anywhere near your pigeon flap labia.
It looks like your sideways penis was like photoshopped and just turned 90 degrees.
What? No.
I mean, that's what it looks like.
Are you
like.
Suggesting it's been photoshopped real life?
Yeah, I'm wondering.
Did you guys know about 3D printers? Maybe he just like printed himself off a new one.
Did you do
that?
I'm not a dick printer. No.
Well, sir, here's
how dare you call
printer.
Me a dick printer.
Can you do that?
Sir, this is the highest top model we have of dick printers. No industry comes close to our standards here. We are the top producer.
It's not going to come out sideways, is it?
Well,
no, I want it to come out sideways.
It is a custom landscape. It will come out sideways.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. So landscape is the button.
Correct. Right.
Derek here is the top dick printer in the country.
Yeah, trust me, buddy. I sell a lot of these things. Oh, boy.
Thanks, Derek. Nice to meet you.
You have nothing to worry about.
And in good hands.
As the only scientist here, I have to say it's highly unorthodox. A sideways penis.
Of course.
It's a gravitational
a
nightmare.
A scientist would.
Listen, Ursula, we all have heard your opinions before. We don't need this.
Do you want to listen to a scientist, or do you want to listen to these photographs?
Oh, it's one of those talking photographs?
Yeah.
Hey, guys, I'm a penis.
Hey, guys, I'm a big, big penis.
Put me on your body in place of your other penis.
Hey, guys, you going left?
Yeah, take a left over there.
Wobble,
Happy
wobble.
Hey,
another
guys,
penis here.
I'm the Michael Fassbender.
Oh, I've seen your work. I'm a big fan, big fan, big fan.
I am what's called a fold-out.
I am a colossus.
That's a big black dildo.
It's the biggest I've ever seen.
Yeah, that's... Wow.
That is the Colossus model, sir. It is our top impressive line. I wouldn't recommend it, though.
Even Michael Fassbender is shamed.
I wouldn't recommend the Colossus, sir. I don't think the blood loss can be deadly.
Wow.
I will take it.
You will faint. Just to warn you, every time you get an erection, you will faint from blood loss.
That's bigger than most horse cocks I've seen.
You've seen a lot of, I'm not going to ask.
Most of them.
Darling, I brought you a present.
No.
Is it a horse cock watcher?
Oh, why did you have to bring Steven?
Steve, can I have a moment with my wife?
Sure.
Well, this is pretty unorthodox of you.
Steve, I want a picture of her face. Would you see that?
Oh, my God. A live pigeon? Sweetie, you know this is what my kitchen needed.
To give you all the best recipes. Straight to the source.
Straight to the source. And you know what? I can use its feathers for a soup. I can use it in a soup.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Okay.
Steve, did you get that picture?
I did.
Thank you, Steven.
I like to catch your excitement when I give her a thing.
I'm going back to college now.
Hey, who's the new guy? You play hacky sack?
Of course I do. My name's Steve.
Nice to meet you, bro. I'm Zen.
Hey, Zen. Can I get in on this circle?
Hey, I'm Dagobah. Definitely you can.
Dagobah?
That's right.
That's from Star Wars.
Is it? I wouldn't know. My parents are just like super into like whatever.
Oh, that's cool. My name's Steve.
Hi, Steve.
My parents are into pigeons and presents.
That sounds amazing. What do you believe, Steve?
What do I believe? I believe that giving things is one of the best presents that you can do.
Wow. We're giving you our time. If you would like to play hacky sack with us on our time.
Already standing in the circle.
Then that is our gift to you.
20-something Hulk want to play hacky sack.
Hi, Hulk. We accept you into the circle.
Thanks. I'll just take hacky sack. Oh! Hulk broke hacky.
It's okay, brother. We've got just the thing to calm you down.
That's right.
Oh, so angry, so many tiny beans inside Zach.
You'll still be angry, Hulk. You'll just push it far down inside.
And you'll just be a little bit angry in a slow way, which will be better for the rest of the world.
Help 20-something Hulk control emotion.
Oh.
Hulk, feel chill. Hulk, have fingers.
Hits from the bone.
Wow.
Hits from the bone.
That's one of the best gifts I've ever gotten.
The night has fallen.
What?
The night has fallen.
That's even more terrifying if I'm already scared. Oh, God.
Mom. Hold still, honey. Hold still.
Yeah.
It's just a bear.
Can I come in the tent?
No, it's not going to come in the tent. Bears can't work.
Are you wishing for a man this weekend? Because men do not run from bears. Bears run from men.
Lost another one.
Well.
No, you can have. He's all yours.
We're letting him go. If he can't be a man and stand up to you, then that's just the way it is.
Well, where are you in your cycle? Should we work on another one now?
We could.
Are you fertile at the moment?
Will you tell me what phase the moon is in, and then I can tell you if I'm fertile.
Oh, okay. I believe it's a waxing gibbous right now.
Then definitely fertile.
Oh, okay, cool. Well, you know, get in the kitchen. Let's hit it.
All right.
Slap, 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 slap. Okay,
that's enough. That is enough.
I just cannot get turned on by your pigeon labia.
I just have been...
Welcome to Velma's Spike Emporium. We have every spike for every need. We have long poles with spikes on the end of them.
We need something for a raptor head.
A raptor head. I have just the model.
Here we are.
You got anything that'll kill a sparkly vampire?
Oh, we haven't seen vampires in this parts for a very long time. You shouldn't be worried
about
that.
Would you just answer the fucking question?
I have one in the back cabinet, but you have to promise that you won't tell anyone I have these. Follow me.
How would we promise that? But okay, let's follow her.
I think this one might be a vampire.
I think that there's a real good chance. Look at all that
glitter. Hey, listen, let me ask you a question.
Shh.
Have you
ever
slept in a coffin?
No. Follow me, gentlemen. It's this way.
Why did her face twitch so much?
Let me ask you another question.
Big old cat.
Have you ever been allergic to garlic?
Creak.
That sounds like a yes. You might be a vampire.
I'm just going to shove you in this closet.
You stuck in this closet too?
Yeah, I'm really scared.
I don't know how to get out.
Well, I think normally you just turn the doorknob, but it won't move.
You got 4 more minutes and then make out, girls.
God,
I am not doing what the man tells me to do.
Oh my god, they're finally totally making out in there.
Oh my god, everybody is just talking about us like we can't hear them.
Fuck them. I hate them.
Yeah, fuck them. They can't tell us what to do. They can't be like, spin this bottle and then you have to go in
Guys,
there for 7 minutes.
I respect whatever decisions they're making in there.
Shut up, faggot.
Touch her butt.
I think that we should make a stand or something.
Yeah, together.
Yeah.
We're going to make a stand. We're going to stand up to the man.
Dude, they're going
to
do it standing up. Dude, listen.
Oh, that's awesome.
And like,
where's the clock?
Touch her butt?
Tell them that they can't do this kind of stuff anymore.
Yeah, they can't just make us into, they can't just put us into boxes and label us.
I think that whatever happens in there is their private business and we shouldn't talk about
Dude,
it.
Dude, they're talking each other's boxes. Shut up,
Steve. And now they're talking about me outside and I'm still playing 7 minutes in heaven.
How did R. Kelly get in here?
I'm playing 7 minutes in heaven. I'm playing 7 minutes in heaven.
You're so gonna get pissed on.
R. Kelly, how are you doing?
Well, I've been trapped in this box. We've played 7 minutes in heaven. And I don't know what to do. I'm supposed to go home. I hope I don't see my wife doing anything weird. I hope I don't see her doing anything weird.
R. Kelly.
I hope I don't see her doing anything weird. Anything weird.
R. Kelly, what would you do if you were trapped in a closet and told to make out by all the boys sitting outside and you just didn't want to take it anymore?
Yeah, you're like an independent woman and you just don't want to do it anymore.
And like you could just stand up for what you believe in because you're an independent woman.
I don't understand what that is. I don't understand what an independent woman is.
You know, guys, an independent woman has agency and can choose to make out or not make out at her discretion. It's not our call.
Right. Like, Celine and I could make out if we wanted to, but we're not going to do it because they want us to.
Right.
Right.
Like, if we make out, and I'm not saying we're going to, but if we make out, it's going to be, like, of our own volition because we want to.
Come on, just make out. Come on, just make out.
R. Kelly, you don't have our backs on this, do you?
2 minutes, ladies. You're going to fail the game if you don't do it.
Wait, I didn't know that there was, like, we lose if we don't make out?
Wait, we're going to lose something?
Wait, are there points?
I don't get spin the bottle.
All right, you guys, here's the bottle. It's the only beer bottle from my mom and dad's fridge, and I stole it. And so once we drink it, we have to fill up with water and put it back, okay?
Okay. All right.
All right. Here, have a sip. Oh, dear.
Some?
I think I'm drunk already.
Oh my god. Okay,
all right, I'm totally feeling it.
I can't feel my cheeks.
I'm gonna put it in the middle and I'm gonna spin it. Just. Oh my god, Bobby!
Yes.
Landed on Bobby.
Yeah.
You have to. The bottle landed on
me. I tried to make it go to the dance.
Jenny, come here.
I tried to make it go to the dance.
Jenny.
Hey, Jenny.
Hey. I can't.
You have to do it.
Yeah, you have to. It's the rule. Give me some.
Oh my god!
Yeah, Bobby!
Yeah.
So nice!
Yeah, you'll feel that tomorrow.
Spin it, Bobby! Spin right. it, Bobby!
Your
spin
turn,
it!
Bobby.
Oh, Jenny!
Oh, it's this fucking time fate, man!
Time.
Fate! Yes!
Number two is...
It tastes like Triscuits, you guys. It tastes like Triscuits.
That's not bad. I ate a lot of garlic parmesan Triscuits today.
Okay.
Good thing you're not a vampire, right, Jenny.
Bring it in here.
Okay. This is fun, right? We're having fun?
Yeah,
baby. Nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
Actually, that was... Okay, all right, my turn. Okay, all right, here we go.
Is the bottle getting faster?
What the fuck's going on?
The bottle?
It's getting faster.
It's creating a vortex. It looks like some kind
of shit.
Paranormal activity or something.
I just wanted to get laid.
What is this, some kind of closet?
Stuck in the closet.
Oh, no.
Oh, hey, R. Kelly.
Going out.
R. Kelly, are you fucking my wife?
I'm fucking everybody.
Damn it.
I hate to tell you this way, sweetheart. I really didn't mean it to be a thing where you saw.
Well, I'm also fucking your husband. I'm fucking both of you.
Oh, so I'm apologizing and you're doing the same thing to me.
Well, I didn't think that we would both find out this way.
Wow. I guess I'm okay with this. I feel liberated for the first time in our marriage. This feels really good.
Yeah. Honey, I'm gay.
Oh my god, so am I.
Yeah.
I'm really gay. I didn't even like having sex with R. Kelly. I just liked getting peed on.
I didn't like having sex with R. Kelly either, but he was a man. What was I gonna do?
I love you so fucking much in a totally platonic way. Thanks, R. Kelly.
You're welcome.
R. Kelly saving that marriage.
Yeah. You guys, I feel like something's missing right now. Do you guys feel that right now?
Mm-hmm.
Hannah.
Molly Chase.
Max Maliga.
Drew Kirsten.
Wait, where's Max?
Dan
Jaquette.
Aaron Johnson.
Aaron May.
Max is running late.
Sham.
Max is seriously running late.
No.
It's Max time. Here.
That's our Colossus joke.
Friend of the show, Max Maliga.
Friend of the show.
Organic. Next up,
and that's our show. Thank you to Colossus. Thank you to Sydney Oxborough, Daniel Jaquette, Gubby Kubik, Drew Kirsten, Sean Hansberry, Jane White, Aaron Shepard, also who couldn't be here today, Hannah, Catherine, White Evan, Max Maliga, Molly Chase, and Aaron Johnson, who's no longer in the group, and Nels Lennis, the director, and Butroy, who's the former coach. Holy God,
that,
damn it.
That is a very big group.
Yeah, it is. All of whom have associations, and they perform at Huge Theater under Hashtag. They're the Hashtag show there. They're the former Deconstruction crew there. So go see them at 8 o'clock on Fridays at Huge Theater. That's Huge Theater in Uptown Minneapolis, 31st in Lindale.
And that's through February, right?
And that's through February. And you can go to hugetheater.com to learn more about the show, or you can check them out on Twitter. And their call sign is at Huge Colossus. Hilarious.
You can see me, my Brave New Workshop house team. We'll be performing after the Friday night stage match. Stage match happens at 8. You still get to see three random teams battle. And then at 9:30, there's...
Not just battle, battle to the death.
Battle to the death.
Yeah.
Death happens later.
Yeah, there's an intermission, death. And then there's the coaches team, the coaches of the groups. And then Phillip's house team.
That's right.
And you can see me at Friday Night Stage Match sometimes. I perform in the coaches' sets, and I also sometimes perform in the early sets. You'll see me next time on the 7th of March, and you can also see me on Huge Wednesdays, which is a show at Huge on Wednesdays.
Clever. Mm-hmm. Everyone's so good at naming things.
Yeah, I know. Well, speaking of good at naming things, I'm in a duo on Huge Wednesdays with Drew Kirsten, who you heard tonight, called Drew and Matt. Truth in Advertising, that's fuckers. Right. And that's at 8 p.m. every week through February.
See Drew and Matt in Drew and Matt on Wednesdays at Huge at Huge Wednesdays.
That's 100% accurate. And you can also go back into our Next Step Back backlog and listen to the episode that we did on here. It's actually really good. Eric Heiberg's on there, and he is fucking funny.
Fucking funny. As always, you can go to my YouTube channel, youtube.com/Philip Simondet. If you're not watching in minimum fare, that's fine, but you could.
Sydney Oxborough, who's on the show today, he's done some really, really, really funny ones. And I believe Gubby's done.
Gubby's been in some. They're great. They're great. And there's more with Sid coming up also. Yeah. And also music. There's songs and things up there as well. Yeah,
there's funny ones and there's absolutely terrifyingly sad ones.
That's my life.
That's pretty much what Philip does.
Keep in touch with us on our Facebook page, facebook.com/nextatbat. Send us an email at nextatbatpodcast@gmail.com.
Uh-huh. You can go to iTunes, download us there, subscribe to our podcast, and then rate and review our podcast because we want to know the words that are inside your head when you think of us. And that's it for this week. Tune in next week when we will have a new episode up. This time we're pretty sure about it. But until then, as always,
praise Jibosh.